Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast, last episode of the year. We're here with Emilio.
Also, last episode ever.
No,
I was just kidding.
Chad.
Hey, what's up?
Chi.
Hello.
And myself, Bobby. All right, 2016, signing it off.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing our game of the year this episode. We'll get to
extravaganza.
That.
Can we call this an extravaganza?
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see. If it gets extravagant, then yeah, we'll title it that. But first of all, we got some copies of Talisman to give away, right, Chad?
Yeah, so we got three copies to give away. If Talisman, if you don't know, is a board game that they've turned into a digital board game that we all now have copies of. We're excited to play it a little bit next week in the coming weeks. So we've got three copies to give away. So we're going to be giving those away next week on our stream. So I think we're doing something related to either on our Discord or listening in live. We're going to be probably recording.
Probably not live, but we'll see about it. Yeah. It'll be on Discord, and we'll announce it later, probably on Discord. And then Chi will be giving away one on her...
on her stream.
On her stream.
Yeah. Yep. One of my goals before we play the digital version is to get all of you guys together and we play the actual board game and then we play the digital version. And that way the whole experience, you guys will be fully enlightened and you can enjoy it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yep.
Your stream, for those who are wondering, is at Smoochie. Just give them the...
S-M-O-O-X-C-H-I, twitch.tv. I stream on the regular Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, with the exception of this holiday season. After the new year, you'll definitely see me on that schedule still.
Cool.
Very cool. All right. Corrections department, what did we fuck up last week?
We didn't actually fuck up. This is going to be an actual approval. It's a non-fuck up that I wanted to bring up. Last week... Emilio was playing Oxenfree, and one of his big gripes was the audio and having it be constantly cut off and everything. And so I said, he's just full of shit. I'm sure there's something. So I Googled this, and it was a bunch of people saying, I hate the audio. It gets cut off and everything like that. Yeah. So there was a bunch of people agreeing with you. Kotaku had an interesting take on their review. And he says, the speed of it all is what sets Oxenfree apart.
Oxenfart.
It almost said, you couldn't be that funny if you were trying, dude.
Anyways.
The TTF was... I don't know. The
Bobby's looking disbelieving at us.
Oh, and time to cut off the TTCF was like 30 seconds. You cut Bobby off like immediately already. In his first line of dialogue. Hey guys, how's it going?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm very important.
Kotaku says the speed of it all is what sets Oxenfree apart. While it can be frustrating in its realism, you don't have time to deliberate over what to say as you would in most games. It also flows really, really well. And what I think one of your issues is you're not a fast reader. And this
That's a compliment.
No, it's true.
It's true. What? Like, Emilio's fast in lots of things, but reading is not one of them.
And, fucking coming.
Yes, thank you. And so I think you struggle more on Oxenfree because you're not a fast reader, and it's already set.
Well, it's
the
all voice acted, so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Here, and I was
completely off base.
I'm half as delirious as I was last week. I'm still not 100%, but I still am drinking. But what I didn't really emphasize, because I just listened to the episode, the train wreck episode, I'll call it. I didn't say that two pieces of dialogue were playing at the same time, and you can't listen to either one of them. And that happened more than once. And that was really the one that was like,
so
wow.
The dialogue was overlapping?
Two dialogues were overlapping several times.
Gotcha.
And so that's inexcusable, yeah. I think. Yeah, it does happen in real life. But in real life, I'd be like, wait, too many people talking. Hey, you tell me whatever.
Be like, yeah. Shut
Whoever
up,
has the bigger tits, you talk first.
Wow. Timed TTT.
Actually, wouldn't you want that person to shut their mouth?
5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway. All right, so let's just get right into the game of the year. How are we going to do this?
Friday the 13th? And
oh, yeah. I guess we could do that. On the radar. I've been watching a lot of people play Friday the 13th. The game that's coming out is in early alpha or beta or something, maybe closed even. A lot of the really big streamers were playing this game, and I've been watching quite a bit of it because I was kind of excited about the idea. And it looks pretty good. I don't know how, like, if I would really get this and spend a lot of time playing it, but it does look pretty cool. It's, we've talked about this before. It's, you play a bunch of survivors. Jason's wandering around the island. He's trying to kill you. You're trying to find different ways to escape. It's like a co-op type of game. I don't know. Any interest?
How is this different than Dead by Daylight?
That's, I don't know yet, because I haven't played that yet.
Okay. Yeah, is it a 4v1 similar to Dead by Daylight, or is it larger than 4v1?
Yeah, but the when I was watching the streams, it didn't seem like Jason was being controlled by an actual person. It seemed like it was an AI, there was actually quite a few people, maybe more than four, that were trying to escape off this island, and there are more than... It wasn't even an island, but there's more than one way to escape. So you have to find various ways to do that. And they have things like distractions and noisemakers that you can use to get away. And
he must be like very fast and very strong, because I feel like I would just sneak away and get away. But obviously it's built into...
It's probably similar to like how the movies are, where he traps you in the rooms. And
yeah, it brings like every trope from all these horror movies they bring in. And I don't know. It looks good, but I don't know if this is going to be like a $50, $60 title. If it is, I'm probably going to pass it up. But I don't know. It's I don't know
what
the release
date.
Yeah, it's a good concept.
Well, Bobby, it's no Dead by Daylight, which I bought you for Christmas, which you should be enjoying. And
as we speak,
that I just activated today. I will check that out.
By the next stream, I'm sure we'll have things to talk on that, too. I'm definitely looking forward to the game that Bobby got for me. The only game that I can recall playing where it's one versus a group of people, this whole hide-and-seek element, is Dead Realm. If you haven't heard of it, it's a smaller game. And you basically are hiding from this giant, horrific, scary-looking baby. And you're just a person, and you run around, and there are different spots to hide. And as when you play the baby, I think the things twinkle when you sense motion or movement or somebody's in the same spot for too long. And you're just chasing these people down, and it's pretty
is this
fun.
On the Sega Genesis, or I've never heard.
No,
of
this game. This is on Steam. And I think I bought it closer to Halloween, and I was super excited to play it because the trailer was really good. But when I played it, I was like, okay, I get the gimmick of it, but beyond just trying it out, I will never see myself reinstalling and playing.
Maybe this one will be a little better, I hope.
Yeah, well, it's a smaller version than Dead by Daylight or Friday the 13th, because I've not played it yet.
Cool.
But I couldn't justify sinking $50 into it, like you said.
So before we get into the game of the year, I have a question. Does everybody have their game of the year? Because I'm still like not 100. I'm like, I don't know, 70% sure, but I think I'll talk my way through it.
I'm 95%.
95.
I'm Bobby? 100%.
I don't think I can have a valid opinion on that, honestly. Like, I don't think I can really pick a game of the year. I do have an answer.
So he's 0%.
Yeah. Well, I brought that up to Chad. I was like, Bobby's played one game this year, so.
I played other games, but not to any extent
full extent.
That would
this is.
So, but are you going to go without? No, I guess we'll get into it, huh?
Yeah.
Bobby, go ahead. Your turn.
Well, I think we should have Chi go first, because Chi's probably the most obvious.
Yeah, everybody knows.
The most obvious, and not just me, but everybody else knows that the game of the year this year is Blizzard's Overwatch.
What? Including Game Awards.
I was doing my research on this, and a lot of places had Game of the Year for Overwatch.
Although PC Gamer gave it to Dishonored 2, which seems suspiciously close to Christmas present buying time.
Yep.
We figured it out. We're on to you guys.
Yeah. We got you figured out.
I don't know.
I've never called them out on shit like that, but nobody's saying that game is Can somebody find us the rankings on Dishonored 2, please? We got a live stream, man. We got a live stream.
It's hilarious that Lab Monkey called me out and said I was choosing Overwatch.
Well, tell us why, though.
Tell us why, Overwatch? Yeah. Well, because we all know Blizzard is a powerhouse when it comes to developing games that really cater to the mass. A huge amount of different quality gamers, and they pull them together, and they bring this put together game and new concepts into something that has replay value. So for me, this game was, and I know if we've talked about it all before, was the first game in a long while that got all of your gamer friends, no matter where you met them or what background of gaming that they have, to come together and play together again. And for me, it's more about the social interactions and the social benefit of playing a game like this that puts it at number one. Not only that, it is a great game with, they're constantly patching it, updating it. There's a competitive scene that they put into there that works fairly well. And it's a game
when you're being
stay
carried
on my list.
Yeah.
we're just talking about the game here, not me. And it's a game that will stay on my list for, or I'll have playtime in this game for a long time to come, in my opinion.
Gee, those are really good points, and I had forgotten how much I think the first month it came out, I said this is PC gaming right now.
Yeah,
I had more people active talking to me on Overwatch than I did on Steam. And that never happened, ever, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So, man, my 70% just dropped down to a 40%, guys.
Okay. Well, for me, it's not just the game itself, but the community is great. It makes it more about the gamer than just the game alone, too, which is nice.
Yeah, having its a class for everyone is really nice. Mm-hmm. Even, I don't know if they pulled that off yet, because Bobby's still not sure about games. In general.
About a class or about the game in general?
Both.
Well, who's going next? Mr. 95%, Chad?
Mine's substantial because I put some work in. So do you want me to go next or do you want me to save for last? Okay, I'm going to go next then. I put together four separate lists.
Oh, goodness. Oh, okay. Here we go. They're not little games. They're not little lists. This is a PC game, not a mobile game of the year list.
Well,
right?
We'll have to take a look and see.
Does it matter? Does it matter if you can write and read fast if all of it is shit? I'm sorry.
Wow. That's, first of all, rude. Second of all, I don't like you. Okay. So I first off wanted to apologize to our listeners because we are going to come out with a game. And it's going to be a good game for Game of the Year. But I feel like there's so many more that I personally did not play that I should have played.
Sure.
2016 was a great year for games, and I played maybe 10% of the games that I should have played.
That's
so
that's a strong statement.
First of all, I'm going to talk about, I did a lot of research on Games of the Year and what people are thinking, Metacritic top scores, all this stuff. So I put together a list of games I should have played but didn't, and I want to apologize to all these games as potential Games of the Year that I will not pick as Game of the Year because I did not play it. So hopefully coming in the future, I will be able to play all these games and give you guys more info on it. But here's a list of games I wanted to play and didn't play. The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine, mm-hmm. Owlboy, Titanfall 2, Civ 6, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Total War Warhammer, Duskers, Doom, Stellaris, Inside, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, Gears of War 4, and Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Those are all games that I was very interested in playing, you know, read reviews on and everything, but never got around to playing, never bought, didn't have a chance to play them. So,
listening to that list, did you play anything this year?
That's why I want to apologize right off the bat.
Yeah. Now, if you guys could all make us full-time gamers, we would have covered all that. So it's on you.
It's on you, the listener. Okay, next up is my biggest disappointment. This is kind of my antithesis of the best game of the year. So these are games that I was excited or interested in playing and played and for one reason or another didn't like. My biggest one was Black Desert. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
It was an MMO, Korean style.
Yeah.
I, you know, me and MMO games hated the game.
Another another chink in the armor of the MMO.
Dude, you're going completely there. Wrong.
Okay.
Next one up, Battleborn. Unfortunately, I really want to like this game. Maybe if I go back to it, everything's fixed, but...
Well, nothing was broken. It just wasn't Overwatch at the time.
Exactly. So it was a big disappointment for me. Street Fighter V was also a big disappointment and still continues to be. And I got to throw kind of the Division in. I really wanted to like it, and there was just so many flaws.
You're just listening to the thing that you didn't play it.
No, I didn't list the Division.
Oh, I could have sworn you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my bad.
All right. Now I'm going to go to my Games of the Year list.
Okay.
I got a couple honorable mentions before I get to my top five. They are... Enter the Gungeon, XCOM 2, The Witness, Darkest Dungeon, Battle Rite, No Man's Sky. I loved you guys all, but you didn't make my top five list. Here we go, top five.
Darkest Dungeon?
Well, it officially came out this year. We gave it to everybody that's new. We gave the Darkest Dungeon Game of the Year last year.
I really like your list so far.
But what was the last one on that list?
Awesome.
No Man's Sky. Which and I correct, really liked it. Everybody's going to say, why wasn't it on your most disappointing? I personally like the game. So here's my top five. Number five is Flame Break, which we loved. We played that fucking shit
totally
to death.
I totally forgot about that. I didn't see it on the list.
So there you go.
That's on my mentionables as well. Flame Break was awesome.
Yeah. Number four is Overwatch. Everything Chi said, I second that. Number three, Rise of the Tomb Raider. It came out really early in the year, so a lot of people probably aren't thinking about it. But I play that game all the way through, and I rarely play games all the way through. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm giving it to Grim... I'm going to give it to Grim Dawn.
It's on my list.
I know, but I almost want to play this. Put this first. I really want to. We played this the hell...
It's in the news, too. Yeah. They're still working on it, dude.
And I really want to. I want to play it right now.
Yeah.
But so that's number two.
Wait till we get to the new segment.
And number one is Legion. You're right, Lab Monkey. That's the one I picked.
All day, day.
just because I love MMOs, and this was the one that got me back into it and did it right. I'm still having fun with it. I just switched over to Horde. So
I saw Lab put that. I was like, there's no way it's going to be Legion.
And I got one more list.
Oh, Jesus. You can't do... Okay. You can do it. You just do. You buried the lead.
Why would you
do Game of the Year after?
I will tell you what.
Okay, let's see.
I put one more list of most anticipated games of 2017. Do you guys want to talk about this now, or do you want to wait until we get
to the end? But let's definitely get to it.
Okay. Well, you guys, will you guys have something to say in response to most anticipated game?
What you put on there?
Okay.
Barbie Dreamhouse 2017. Barbie, would you have a lot to say?
Well, then we'll put it on later in the show. Bobby?
All right. Am I going next?
Yeah, after that masterpiece of what I just did.
I'm glad I went before.
I got a question.
Yeah. Did Heroes of the Storm release this year?
No.
Oh.
No, that was...
You're 2015. You are so fucked.
Well, I kind of want to save him for last. You go, Emilio.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
No. Emilio, you go. We'll save the best
for
last.
We interrupted him to the point where his turn is switched now.
Bobby's is going to be the highlight,
the final word,
the climax.
I'm going to take in all the input, and then I will help you guys decide.
Yep.
Okay, some other things that weren't listed by I'll say what made my list of possibles and then why. I guess Grim Dawn, because it showed me that dungeon crawlers can be a thing that is fun again. Far Cry Primal, just because I like the Far Cry series, and
you enjoyed that one.
Play that
and
game.
Everything that I,
yeah, it is.
My whole life, I attribute to, like, I always go back to caveman. Oh, I do this because I was a caveman at some point, you know, like, or we were cavemen at some point, and like
you still are
playing,
but
yeah, more than most.
You still are.
Deadly Towers of Monsters. I really enjoy this game. I thought it was...
I enjoyed watching you play it.
Super campy, fun, original, like, just fucking cool. Doom, for making a single-player experience that was not just a game, but, like I said, like an experience. Like, I felt like I really lived through something. Battlefield 1...
No, wait. Do your Doom impersonation when the enemies start coming.
So, you're walking through hallways, it's like swish, swish, and you pick up... But then when you go and you feed bad guys, it's like... Oh, That's Doom. Battlefield 1 for the amount of work that went into this game. Jeez. I feel like it's kind of like how much EA put into the Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's fucking nuts, man. Just like how much history and languages and researching every little weapon. And it's beautiful. It's probably the best looking game I played this year, actually.
Do you finally feel that, I know in the past Call of Duty versus Battlefield has been almost neck and neck, but do you feel like Battlefield has finally, you know, took the crown when it comes to...
I've always felt that Call of Duty was a console. I've never enjoyed a Call of Duty. Oh, well, that's not true. I've never been a Call of Duty guy. I've never said that Call of Duty... Wow, that thing blew my socks off. Okay. Battlefields have definitely blew my socks off.
Okay. I feel like... Just Call of Duty, I just picture holding a controller when I play.
Yeah,
Battlefield,
exactly.
I picture mouse and keyboard when I
play. Well, I think we've always been of that opinion when it comes to Call of Duty, but I feel like this year specifically, a lot of people share that sentiment. I feel like this is the year that Call of Duty's like, we got to rethink our shit because nobody's buying it anymore. Like, I think they had a good idea re-releasing Modern Warfare, and everyone loved that game. Maybe they should like start doing more of that, but I don't know.
Maybe they shouldn't have fired everybody that was really good at making Call of Duty. I mean, that's also a possibility. Anyways.
So, Forza 3, thank you for making me...
Was that the Drivatar?
Yeah.
Drivatar.
Oh, my God. Worst name ever.
Thank you for, like, revitalizing my love of driving games, which I hadn't had since probably PlayStation 2.
Starting to sound like a love letter.
That's amazing. And Titanfall 2.
He does the no skin mod on his car.
Oh, goodness.
And plays with one hand.
Titanfall 2
didn't get Game of the Year for you?
I think it's going to get Game of the Year for me.
Okay. I was calling Titanfall 2 for you.
Yeah.
But you didn't mention Overwatch, so that also...
No, it was the first thing. Oh, I didn't mention it, but it's on my list.
Okay.
Overwatch was the first thing on my list. Titanfall 2... The single player wasn't amazing, but it wasn't bad. It was fun, you know. It was worth playing, and I liked the script for the robot. I was impressed with, and it was just a good time. Definitely worth playing through. And then the multiplayer, I can't say more than saying that it's exhilarating. It's exhilarating. I've been staying up till like 2 and 3 in the morning playing it. It makes me shirk my responsibilities, including another animal in my room. So it's just like, it's this thing that I keep coming back to. I haven't played Overwatch since Titanfall 2 came out. So how about that? That's pretty good. So my game of the year is Titanfall 2, followed closely by Overwatch. And then after that, probably Doom. Go ahead, Bobby.
All right. Well, I didn't play that much Doom, but I did really like that game. And I always felt those types of games really embody the video game, PC gaming experience. So I like that choice, but I haven't really played enough Doom to really choose that as my game of the year. If we go by hours played, the games I think I played the most year, aside from Heroes of the Storm, is Stardew Valley. Great game. Highly recommend it. Legion. That's definitely up there. I don't know where we fall on expansions getting Game of the Year or not, but I think...
Well, Blood and Wine is getting Games of the Year in other places.
But that also got a little criticism for it as well. Like, is that really a game since it's technically an expansion?
I mean, it's
but
40 hours. I would give that game.
But who cares? I mean, I'll accept it, but I don't know. If I had to choose one game this year...
Or you can do it a different way, Bobby. You heard all of our game of the year. You could bandwagon on one of ours, and that gives two, and clinch it.
Yeah. Or we could just let him tell us what he thinks and not interrupt him.
I'm just throwing options.
There's a thought. Well, I do want to give a special shout out to a game that I did really like called Headlander. I brought this up a couple of months ago. Really enjoyed that game. Little side-scrolling game set in the 70s, very Logan's Run. 70s sci-fi retrofuturism. Had a room called the Fondalarium. Great shit.
Fondalarium.
The Fondalarium, yes. There's a shag carpet and some lava lamps. It was very groovy.
Very nice.
But weren't there like sex bots in that or whatever too?
Yeah, a lot of robots. So yeah, I recommend that game. But if it's going for the game of the year, I'm going to have to go with Overwatch.
I feel good. High five.
I mean, it was
or not. Okay.
I've had my fair share of criticisms about that game, but it is made by Blizzard, and Blizzard makes another game called Heroes of the Storm.
That's your.
So does Legion, by the way. P.S. I'm just throwing it your way.
That's true.
Okay. Developer of the year.
So, I don't know. I mean, Overwatch has had such a cultural impact that it's hard to ignore. And, I mean, it's a fun game, even though I find it a little too oriented towards the casual gamer. But I do respect that everything that they've done with that. I mean, that game has just been like this movement. Like, we watched trailers of it before it came out. And then, like, we played the beta. And then we played the game when it came out. And just, like, everybody was playing it. I mean, it was like... It was like fucking Star Wars almost, you know, it was just like this massive thing that everybody was a part of. So yeah. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself, I think, makes it more monumental than some of the other games.
And it can't be understated that it was a AAA that worked on day one.
Yeah,
that
is true.
And it continues to get better.
Becoming an increasingly rare thing these days.
Yeah, I actually tried to do some research on that. I was trying to find AAA games that had issues on the PC version of it, but I couldn't find any good articles. I just listed them all, but there is a ton that have happened in the past few years.
But, all right, so the official DL Gaming Podcast.
I'm a little disappointed that
Indy didn't win it, right?
Well, just we're following suit with everybody else, but
yeah,
I mean, all four of us put it on our best of list.
If you were going to run the actual numbers, Grim Dawn would have came in like third place or something. Probably. Or fourth place.
I've never played it. I have to give it a chance. Especially dropped it. So
you and Max should play it together. Yeah. That would be a great game for the two of you.
Honestly, I think that will be, when we get to that point, our resolutions for next year.
Okay.
So the official DL Gaming Podcast Game of the Year is on three. One, two, three.
Overwatch.
Bobby did not participate.
No. Nope.
He didn't even give me a high five. Did you guys pick up on that?
I high fived for you, though.
I was like, Overwatch, no way. High five. Maybe not. And Chad came in.
I saved the hanging.
Yeah, he did.
It's all right. You know, I can't just be handing out high fives left and right.
That's too much.
I mean, it is Christmas, but...
He's like one of those people where you can't touch him, right?
I'm curious.
That was the case.
If Bobby only gives out five high fives in his life, and I give out 700... Are his high fives worth more than my high fives?
I would think so.
I think they're both worth zero. All right, moving on.
Probably the best answer there possible.
All right, so what else are we talking about?
Let's talk about some games that we've been playing. Who's going first?
I guess I will, since I'm first up. Last week, if you remember, we all gave each other games. I got a game called Her Majesty Spiffing.
Woohoo!
I was super excited to play this, so I loaded this up and started playing it.
From your Secret Santa?
From my Secret Santa, Chi.
Yes.
And I had a blast. This game's awesome.
Yes! Did you see the trailer before you played it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was valueless. By the way, that was valueless.
Valueless, yes.
High five was valueless.
No, my high fives are worth value.
I'm counting here.
You're depreciating
in
value the more you give. I'm just saying that.
What were we talking about? Oh, Her Majesty Spiffing. First of all, do you guys have any idea what a spiffing is?
Spiffing? I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't either. I don't have the answer to this. I was just curious.
I have a guess.
Like, okay, give it a guess.
No,
okay,
no. For spiffing would be something where like you're snuffing someone out.
I don't think so, because the game has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
But your guess?
Glancing cum shot.
Okay.
Wow, Mr. Urban Dictionary definition there. How about you, Bobby?
It does sound vaguely sexual.
Yeah. I almost came on her, but it spiffed right off her cheek.
According to Urban Dictionary and Google, it is a dated term to mean excellent or splendid. How spiffing you look.
Oh, so like you look spiffy.
Like spiffy. Yeah, I've heard that a bunch
of spiffing.
Times.
Spiffing. Okay, I get it.
I love it when you reveal the answer and everybody's like, oh, I knew that the whole time. We all did.
It was repressed somewhere in our memories. But that's funny. I think they replaced the word spiffing with fit. instead of saying hot or gorgeous, all the Englishmen say, oh, she's looking really fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that term. Mm-hmm. But so anyways, back to the game. The first thing that when you boot it up, it, you know, you see, sometimes see the Georgia symbol. It was like on Smite.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever, because you can get tax breaks if you do stuff from Georgia. Apparently, there was another one because the first thing you do, it says product of North Wales. And it's a good thing that that came up because it starts doing British stuff. And if I hadn't seen that, I would have thought, oh, this is from England.
Yeah.
But they kind of like poke fun at British.
Yeah.
And the other guy is saying boyo a lot of times. Mm. Not in exactly a British. One of the guys is British. The guy you play is British. And the other guy says boyo and kind of makes fun of him. And I thought that was good that that first screen was there. So I know, okay, so this is coming from Wales. And they're kind of poking fun at the British a little bit.
All those islands poke fun at each other a lot.
Yeah. But really well made game.
I don't know. What is it?
So
side-scroller, 2D, 3D.
It's a point-and-click adventure where you move your guy around. And you're in a spaceship. And basically the queen has sent the ship off because she's tired of the politics from 2016 and she wants to find a new place to rule. So she sends two people out, Captain Frank Lee English, and I forget the other dude's name, but he's from Wales.
Something Abel?
Yes, I forget.
Another pun, though. Frank Lee English?
No, I don't remember.
You see how that's a pun?
Yeah.
Frank, okay.
I forget, but so you play as Frank Lee English, and he's going around his ship to do things, but he's kind of inept, and everything's kind of like tongue-in-cheek. Like, the first thing he says is, oh, I have to head this way, past the fourth wall. And you're like, laughing because he's pointing directly at you.
Right.
But then he walks forward, and the screen changes, and there's a picture of, and it says the fourth wall on it, and it's like falling off. Or you know, so it's just kind of plays tongue-in-cheek. Good puzzles. I almost looked something up once, but I was able to figure it out. A good level of difficulty for me for point and click. My only complaint, it was very short.
Oh, you finished it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow.
It was probably 4 hours, maybe, to get through the whole thing.
But you finished it.
Yeah.
It's been like 2 days.
Yeah, I finished it in one night. I got home and started playing it and beat it.
Wow, and one sitting?
Well, with that price tag, I think you should get more. That does not follow the DL Gaming $1 per hour minimum.
No, and that would be my biggest thing. And it kind of ends in this weird spot. Like, I thought I got through the first act.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, and we run out of money, so we're going to stop right here. Kind of like that.
That's almost like, yeah, you're being tongue-in-cheek, but it's also a total cop-out.
Yeah, maybe there will be a sequel.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Not purchased by Bobby. All right, not purchased by Chad until next Christmas.
Well, it's weird to see a point-and-click or a 3D adventure game like this that isn't split into chapters. I feel like they do that to all these games now.
Yeah.
Are you going to play this off his account, Bobby?
I do want to play this game.
You should. It's a lot of fun. And point, if you're into point-and-clicks...
So you've played other games, maybe like Life is Strange, for instance, games that do come out in chapters.
Okay.
Would you say it's a comparable experience where, okay, I see why they cut us off here, and I'm just waiting for the new chapter to come out? Or
fact
that you said it's
Well, if you
short.
Only have...
But I'm not sure. Is this set up as a chapter sort of game? Because I haven't heard anything...
No, this is the first of this developer, indie
developers. Yeah, this game just kind of came out of nowhere, really. Mm-hmm.
No, what I'm saying is if you only have 4 hours of content, you can't really split that into four. You have 4 one-hour vignettes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not enough.
Well, see, that's tough, too, because a lot of these games rely heavily on the story, and it's really hard to do like an episodic like that and do all these different arcs with the story. It ends up like there's a lot of filler content when you split it up into 5 or 6 chapters. Like, I've played so many of those games where I just feel like a lot of it could have been cut out. So I wouldn't be opposed to something like this that just says, hey, we're going to go through this 4 hours and we're done. But $18.99 does seem a little high for that.
Mm-hmm. But
the ending does sound like a cop out, right?
It does. Like there is no ending.
You were unfulfilled.
It wasn't even unfulfilled.
Did you look up alternate endings?
A new person came in, and then credits roll, and then it said,
"Did you
and
look
we're
up
out of
alternate
money.
Endings?"
I didn't, but I can't imagine how they could possibly
well,
have.
Maybe there might be.
Yeah, it's true.
It sounds like one of those things that might have, you know.
Something. But I chuckled four or five times. There was
in 4 hours. It's pretty good.
Yeah, there was some actual funny dialogue. It kind of plays with itself and doesn't take itself too seriously, which I really like. The art is very nice, and the voice acting is really well done. It's just a really well-made game, mm-hmm. but
short.
Really short.
And to be honest, when I did purchase the game, it's fairly new. Came out just a couple days ago, actually.
Yeah.
I read the reviews, and they all seem to speak upon the same things you said. Great all around, except for the length of the game.
Yep.
So.
Gee, are you happy that your game of the year got the game of the year?
Yeah, and then not only that, like, how perfect is it that Chad played my Secret Santa gift and liked it, too?
Yeah.
So I am
yep.
on a roll. I need a yeah, double high five right
yep.
now from Bobby and Chad.
No,
Bobby,
he doesn't
please.
Give those away.
Bobby, please.
I'll give you a low five.
Low five.
I'll give you a low five.
Yes.
There we go.
All right, what else did
that
we...
That felt good, right?
What the hell is the Amazon... Oh, sorry.
Well, you know, while we're talking about these 3D adventure games, I might as well talk about...
I know, it's rude. He's rude.
It's rude.
I'm trying to segue.
Yeah.
There's a valid segue opportunity. I'm going to take it. We're talking about 3D adventure games. I played one of those the last couple of days. I've been getting into King's Quest. There's a Humble Bundle going on right now with a lot of great games from Sierra. If you spend $15, you get all those games, plus the brand new King's Quest that would normally cost you $29.99 for all five or six chapters or however many there are. So I saw that. It reminded me that I had bought this Humble Bundle like 3 months ago, and I had meant to play these games. So I thought I'd dive into it because I needed something a little more relaxing. And it's pretty good. You know, there was a lot of hype around this game. I think 2 years ago during the Video Game Awards, they brought on the original creators of Sierra on the stage and like made a big deal out of it. And they really hyped up this game. And then it kind of came out. Nobody really talked about it anymore. It came and went without much notice. It's a decent game. It's your standard puzzle adventure game. The animation looks great, by the way. It's
when you say
like
puzzle that. Adventure, what do you mean? It's not
yeah,
point
it's
and click?
Not point and click. It's a 3D adventure. You're walking around. You have an inventory, and you have an interact button, and that's basically it. So you're collecting items, matching them to certain places. The puzzles aren't too difficult. I am almost done with the first chapter, like very close to finishing it.
Great graphics.
So I'm not like... Mm-hmm. I'm not really far into it, but it is kind of charming. The way that they do the animation with the camera movements is very exaggerated. It reminds me a lot of it, what's the one with the hamburgers? It's raining meatballs. Meatballs. Some
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yes. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs
nice
2. The two. Second one. Because
Which
if you watch the
good.
First one
Even
and
more
then you watch the second one. Getting way too detailed over these types of movies. But the second one, there's the camera movements and the character movements are so much more exaggerated and just like comical and stuff. And it totally reminds
me of
what
they tried
doing. Beautiful game.
It really is.
Yeah, the animation is beautiful. I really like it. And it runs like perfectly. It runs so clean. And apparently it has 21:9 support. I know that's a big deal to some people out there. But I'm enjoying it. I'll probably play through all six chapters. It looks like it's going to be about 2-3 hours per chapter.
Excluded from Family Share. That's a boo.
Yeah,
well, it is free. The first
chapter first
is
one's
free,
but then they yeah. hook you. It's like crack.
Mm-hmm.
You get the first one free, and the next hit yeah. costs you a blowjob or something.
Yeah, but for $15, you can get all these right now.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys play the original King's Quest from Sierra way back in the day?
Nope.
No. Okay.
It sounds familiar. I wouldn't doubt it if you pulled it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's kind of an iconic hat that he has there with a little
yep.
feather in it.
Really, I remember the game.
Yeah.
I just haven't played it.
I have a weird brain fart going on right now. Does Sierra have anything to do with Valve at all?
No, Sierra used to do all the point-and-click adventures.
Yeah,
Sierra,
in the past. I remember playing Sierra games a lot.
I think Sierra published Half-Life.
That's
really?
What it was.
Yeah.
Oh,
back in,
really?
Back in 98, Sierra... someone correct me because I may be off here, but there's a Sierra logo on like the Half-Life
That's
box that you
is.
Bought back in the 90s. Yeah.
Could be.
But yeah, Police Quest, you can get that in the bundle too. Beirut's mentioning that in chat. But all that stuff is on Humble Bundle right now. And Sierra's just like, they were a really big producer of video games back in the day. So
what was the big Sierra games? Do you remember from back in the days? I mean, other than King's Quest?
Because
I didn't play King's Quest, but I played other Sierra games. Oh, Myst. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Lab Monkey mentioned.
Man, back in the day, you know what it was? Back in the day, there was only like 8 developers.
Yeah.
And Sierra was one of them. Or not developer, but maybe publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they should do a documentary. Maybe there is one on these people, because it was a husband and wife. They lived out in like the woods. Like, and they lived kind
in
of
the
this
Sierras?
Like, possibly. Okay. But they had like this kind of like really natural hippie kind of lifestyle going. And I feel like there's
Bobby, let's
really
make a documentary. One of the ones that you say that they should make one.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there probably is one. All right, I'm going to bring up Humble Bundle. I'm going to tell you what exactly is in this. But I would recommend this game. Okay, Space Quest Collection, Phantasmagoria, Police Quest, Shiftlings, Time Shift, Gabriel Knight.
These are all old as shit, right?
Some of them. Caesar 3 and 4, Velocity 2X, the original King's Quest games. And then for $15, you get, $20, my bad. $20, you get the new ones. Yeah.
Well, it looks like the new one is worth $20, and you might get some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really have any complaints about King's Quest, the new one. The puzzles seem a little easy, but you don't want them to be too difficult so much that they impede the story. What I am noticing, though, and I can't tell this from just one playthrough, but it really seems like the decisions that I make they change the way that the story is developed. I don't know how much. Like, eventually, I feel like everything goes back to that set storyline that they have. But there was this problem that I had to solve. I had to get an eye from a monster, and there are several different ways to do it. I got something from the armor where I could have got something from, like, the baker or another place, but because I got something from the armory, that led me off into a certain path, into a well where this dragon was. And I feel like I wouldn't even have been there if I had gone some other route. So I don't know. It feels like there's some decision making happening that's altering the story, but I don't know to what extent. And that's what kind of sucks about these games, is you can never really tell, like, what am I missing out on? Maybe I need to go on YouTube, but that seems kind of lame.
I don't know. I like beating a game and then watching the YouTubes of the alternate endings.
Yeah, that's but this isn't like just an too. Alternate ending, though. It's like an alternate game.
Almost. Oh, Wallace Shawn is a voice actor in this. Amazing. Did you see that?
Yeah. And yeah, he voices that little tiny knight you see on screen.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, and you probably recognize like him. Or he's for listeners who don't know, yes, Inconceivable from The Princess Bride.
Which is one of my favorite movies of all time. You should let...
Nope, she hates it.
What is...
Is that true?
Yeah,
you tried?
Yeah, I swear.
Wow.
Didn't even get half an hour through it.
Holy shit.
I told you, that's the conundrum I'm under.
Well, stop trying to see your movies.
None of our listeners know what we're talking about, so we're moving on.
Chaz's girlfriend hates movies and TV shows. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Now you guys are looped in. What else we got? You want to go back to the show notes?
Yeah. We're lost without... We're a rudderless boat without you,
I can
Bobby.
Talk about stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think my keyboard died, but we had something else up on the show notes, right?
Yeah. I got Amazon Underground. So, False Josiah, also known as Noodle Boy. What's his name? Crazy Noodle Boy? Something Noodle Boy?
Sure.
He said, yo, Chad, you said you hadn't played Kodar. It's actually free right now if you download it on Amazon Underground. I said, sweet, I'm going to do that. So I downloaded it. Or I think I downloaded it.
That's Knights of the Old Republic.
Have you guys tried to use Amazon Underground before?
I don't know what it is.
I have never even heard of Amazon Underground.
Okay, so if you go on your phone and go to the Amazon app, you can then... go to the Amazon Underground section of Amazon, and you can, and it's got apps and games, and it's for their like Fire and stuff like that.
And for mobile devices, basically.
Exactly. So then you can select them and download them, and all of them say truly free. They all say truly free. And so you can download them, but it doesn't actually download the game onto your, it does, but it doesn't download it as a game onto your phone. You have to access it through the Amazon app.
Gotcha.
So the Amazon app has a list of the games you've downloaded, and then you can select them. So it's a little confusing.
It's an overlay.
In that way.
Yeah.
But it is truly free, meaning that game's yours now, and you can play it as long as you have it there, and you're all good to go. I've got two kind of concerns with it. And that is, like, number one, I was having problems. Like, I would download one and it just wouldn't show up for like 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden it would pop up and then it would disappear and then it would pop up again. So I haven't played around with it too much.
Is the underground new? Do you know?
What's up?
Is the underground new?
No, it's been around.
Maybe the kinks haven't been worked out.
Oh. But I also downloaded Laura Croft Go, which is free.
For free?
For free.
Wow.
And there was another Go that I downloaded. Oh, Deus Ex Go. For okay. free.
Wow.
But here's my two issues. Number one, and probably the biggest issue, is I went to Games and I said, give me the highest reviewed games so I can see what I want, because they're all free, right? The number one game of the highest reviewed game, 11 reviews. I never saw more than 11 reviews on any of the games. So I don't know
maybe it's brand new, dude, this underground thing.
It's not. It's not brand new.
Nobody in here has heard of it.
I looked at news articles from 6 months ago. So it's at least six
okay,
months.
Okay, that's pretty brand new.
11 people, and this is Amazon. Everybody's got a phone. Like, I'm just confused on why.
I think
why.
Maybe they just started giving away free shit so to bring awareness, because nobody was on it in the first place.
They gave away a bunch of apps on Amazon 2 years ago, I remember. They were just giving a bunch of free stuff away. They advertised it on their website. They didn't call it Amazon Underground. I wonder if that's kind of the same thing. Is this specifically games or is it apps too?
Games and apps.
Okay.
They have a category for games under their apps store in the
and
place.
And it's all played on your Android.
On Amazon Underground, yeah.
Okay.
I want some credit for not going pee this episode.
You've already gone pee.
No, I got made drinks.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
The episode ain't
I'm
over
a
yet.
Fucking gangster over here.
We're gonna
tonight.
Keep going until
I'm
you
a
have
pee
to pee.
Gangster.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh.
Number two
Shit.
Of my complaint is every single one says truly free, truly free, truly free.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is awesome, except
90%
of the games are free, even if you get them on the Google Store. So it's kind of false advertising. Like,
yeah, no, this sounds exactly like that thing from 2 years ago.
It's like
what it sounds like to me is Amazon wants the advertising money that those games produce.
Probably, yeah.
Right. So, interesting.
But anyways, don't give me feedback saying it's truly free when it's free regardless. It free is only good if I'm actually saving money. If it's started at zero and you're telling me it's free now, that's not actually an advantage. You know what I mean? That's my thoughts on it. But anyways, I'm going to give Coder a chance and
Knights of the Old Republic again.
Yeah,
which
and
is
also
known as one of the best games by the BioWare,
yes, which I haven't played, which is why
I gave it a shot. It
false
was too dated, way too.
Yeah,
dated
but if you're playing on your phone,
yeah, no, I'm way. I would rather play it on my phone. Cheat, why don't you play games on your phone?
When I play video games, it's an experience, and I generally tell you when I sit down to play video games, it's for a minimum of 2 hours. Otherwise, I'm not enjoying myself.
That is
are there
long
any times
shit.
In your bar when there's nobody around?
No, hell no. I don't.
Never.
I don't get enjoyment. When I am playing my video games, I can't be in an environment where I'm either A, going to be distracted, B, you know, if I'm moving, like if I'm in motion, I wouldn't play games on my phone.
Right.
Because I would just get sick. I like a full immersive experience when
have
I'm
have you ever got
video
into
games.
A mobile game?
If there were any mobile games that I've ever played, it was
Game
Candy
Board.
Crush and Scramble.
You know, just with Candy Crush.
And that's it.
That pretty much encompasses everything that's going on. Candy Crush is, I wouldn't say epitome, but it is the best example of what mobile is right now. It's just like get you in, build you up, get you to a point where you can't progress without money, mm-hmm. and then leave you there. The paywall, as some people call
it. Yeah.
But Candy Crush is fun for the first hour.
Yeah, for sure. And it's worth the download.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But some people, you know, they can't resist.
Unlike
Bobby, where are we at?
Heroes of Incredible Tales.
Time-wise?
Which,
yeah. About 50 minutes.
Just teases 50
minutes?
You.
Okay, cool. Dishonored 2. I said that I don't know what. I covered it a little bit. I continued to play it. I put another 2 hours. I was at it like 3 hours in. And I'm like, it still hasn't grabbed me. I'm almost ready to stop playing this game. And then I was like, okay. And it's the same thing. It's so fucking aggravating. It says, play the way you want to play. go loud, go soft, or go quiet, go loud, right? Or
go without power is go with power.
Yeah, or somewhere in between. Sure, but why at the end of every level you give credit for not killing anyone and not alerting anyone? It's fucking bullshit. How about
it's like the whole Deus Ex.
Exactly. Yeah. Can I get credit? Can I get credit for killing every single fucking asshole who spoilers, betrayed me and became part of the other fucking they're worshiping the other queen? No?
Does that change the story? You're able to, like, kill someone off, like, in Divinity?
No, he's just talking about the regular.
I'm talking about the regular dudes.
The regular
but
dudes.
You can, like, there are, like, named characters that you're supposed to interrogate. And so, in my frustration, I was like, all right, before I delete this game, I'm going to start from the beginning and just kill everybody. And I went as Corvo. I didn't go as the chick.
I went
to the chick first. And no, there's nothing wrong with the girl. It was just like, I don't know. Let me get back to what.
Are they different? I don't know. Is there a difference?
Slightly different. Okay. One teleports, the other one has a whip teleport.
And, okay, gotcha.
You know, stuff like that. So I started over. I had initially put it on normal so that I could get through the mission and tell you guys what the game is like. But I couldn't get through it. So I went back, I put it on hard, and I went with no powers, and I'm killing every motherfucker there is. I'm having so much more fun. I'm having so much more fun, but my aggravation comes from you're cutting off like a large percentage of the game because I can't pick up relics, which or whatever they're called, that unlock your powers. So I don't have to go in dark corners that I would have otherwise. And I'm not saying don't make me. I'm just saying maybe you put gold there instead so I can buy more stuff.
Gotcha.
And the other thing is, I feel like a lot of gamers are completionists. And when you give me, if I'm playing the way that makes me feel the best and have the most fun, and you don't check those fucking check marks for me, those check marks are aggravating as shit. But I am having fun, so I'm going to continue playing it.
So not your game of the year is what you're saying?
No. And the first time I called PC Gamer into question.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like that's the problem with a lot of stealth games. We have that issue with all the stealth games.
We're all simpatico here, right? They shouldn't be doing this. If you're going to reward one, reward the other if you can have it in your game, right?
But then you end up just rewarding everybody. I guess what I would say is if you were playing it the stealth way and didn't get rewarded for doing it super stealthy, wouldn't you be just as frustrated?
Well, if you take that, I don't know. I haven't played the game, so I can't really comment on it. But I feel like if you take that out of the game, then you end up with a game like Fallout 3, or even Skyrim, where it's just so open-ended, you can go any route that you want, which I think is fine, but I don't know. It seems like you can do it both ways.
I agree that with you, though, Emilio. Like, if one of your selling points is do it the way you want to do it, but only rewards you for one way to do it, then it just seems
fucked up. I think a good way to reward is kind of like what they do with Mass Effect or games that have what's it called when it's you're on the light side or dark side. Since we're talking like KOTOR and everything else.
Oh, like your moral meter.
Yeah, moral meter.
There have been games.
So, you know, and depending on your moral your status, people react to you differently. Your character changes physically. Like, I think that would be a rewarding.
Not just ignore it completely.
Yeah.
Ignoring it completely is even worse than punishing, because at least punishing, you get your own ending. And your evil ending, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But just like, oh, cool, that's how you did it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Resident Evil?
Yeah, I'll talk about that game. The other night, Lab Monkey and I played Resident Evil Revelations 2, otherwise known as Biohazard 2. They got a lot of names for their games.
Is this new or old? Or when
it's
did
not
this
that
out?
New. There is a new Resident Evil game.
Okay, because I thought there was
out.
7, right?
Yeah, 7. $60. That seems pretty high. Usually these games are cheaper, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with the series at all. Like I was telling him.
16 or 60?
60.
60.
No. When it comes out, it is generally that high.
Is it?
Because that's the console standard for pricing right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can see it because of that. But this is my first... Well, I played Resident Evil 5, which I'm told is the worst one. I thought it was all right. I played the entire game co-op with a friend of mine. It was an all
right
experience.
RE5, you said, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, number 5. The bad one.
Yep.
So this was my first Resident Evil game. Until then, we played raid mode, though. It wasn't the single-player campaign. We couldn't do that as co-op. So we played this mode called raid mode, where we went into levels, and it was like wave survival, basically. We killed a bunch of zombies. I think it's a little different than the actual campaign mode, because he was telling me that those are a lot about conserving ammo and resource management, and it's not an issue in these raid modes. You go in, you just blow everything up. Mm-hmm. It almost felt like Killing Floor 2 a little bit to me, which is another game I really liked.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that, because that mm-hmm. technically
yeah, that
came
technically
out this
came
year.
Out. And I played so much of that in early alpha that the game changed so much and I never went back. I don't even know what it has to offer. I need to revisit that game before I say, like, yep, it's great, which
Stop
I'm sure
playing.
It is. I really enjoyed it in alpha. And some of the issues that I had with Killing Floor 2 was that the upgrades were so far apart, and they're binary. You choose one or the other. You hit level 5, you can get this upgrade or that upgrade. Pick one. With Resident Evil 2, you can upgrade your weapon. You can put parts on that weapon, then upgrade those parts, and you can upgrade skill points, active and passive. There's a lot more ways to customize your character and kind of build them into the specific play style that you want to use in these levels. It got a little grindy after a while, but I still enjoyed it, and I'd really like to check out the campaign. At some point while playing this game, though, I was like, this game is Japanese as fuck, because I haven't played... It reminded me of playing my Dreamcast, which is the last console I truly owned. Like, I had a PS2 just for a Guitar Hero, but the last real console that I played a lot was a Sega Dreamcast, and I played a lot of those games, and they were just like... Just the music they use, the mm-hmm. sound effects. Like, yeah. I'm so not used to that. Like, I'm not used to Japanese games because they're primarily on consoles.
What about that horror Japanese game that you played last year? The, fuck. It was made by the Resident Evil guy.
Oh.
It had the spider that
yeah,
said that it would bang.
That
another
like the
yep.
evil within
yep.
the evil within
yeah the evil within was that, very Japanese right no or no
no well not like this like oh, when I picked gotcha. Up like a power up it was like blue 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 like it's yeah. just like oh yeah dude that takes me back to the Dreamcast days.
Yeah, I think they're doing it right. If you did get that
nice.
Sense of nostalgia, the one thing I really appreciate about the Resident Evil series is that even though you're playing an entirely new game or even an entirely different mode. Like, I've played almost all of the campaigns. I think I have, actually. And I've played some of their multiplayer ones.
Uh-huh.
And even though you were playing a different concept of Resident Evil, you still felt like you were playing a true Resident Evil game that mm-hmm. you can't remake in other games, because mm-hmm. they stay yeah. true to the core of what a Resident Evil game mm-hmm. is most of the time. Some of the newer stuff is definitely new, but of course needed.
Yeah, and there's a really good book out there. I think I listened to the audiobook. It was called Why Video Games Matter. Didn't really care for the author, but he did talk quite a bit about Resident Evil when it first came out and how that game was just so different from everything else that had come out before it and what made that game so special. So, like, I totally understand why the significance of the Resident Evil series. All those games are on sale right now on Steam, by the way. I really wanted to play the original one when it came out remastered. It's on sale for $10. I may still check that out. I want to play.
I think I own that.
Really?
Yeah, you might want to check for mine. By the way, Lab Monkey says the Revelations games have traditionally been cheaper. So the Revelations are cheaper, but the RE7s yeah. can be $60.
If Why didn't you Resident mention Evil? That? Lab Monkey also said that Emilio was right for once. That's, I think.
I don't see that.
If yeah. I were to recommend a Resident
no,
Evil right campaign
that.
Game for you to try, I would... First, for your first initial impression of Resident Evil, you can't go wrong with Resident Evil 4. That game will spoil you.
Is that
and
the one
if
in
you
the
play? That's the one where you're
Africa?
Leon. No, that's the one
yeah,
where you're Leon, and you go into some Spanish island,
oh, okay,
and you're
gotcha.
Saving the president, some
yeah.
president's daughter.
Yeah, and I
Naturally,
think one might be
daughter.
Too tough. Even the remastered version might be too tough to go back to. And I think 4 is kind of like that. Everyone says that's a really good one. That kind of
yeah.
might be the middle ground between like the old Resident Evil when it was good, and also mm-hmm. a bit of the new mixed in for the newer crowd. But it's like all these other series where it's like, I've never played any of these games. I want to check it out. But there's like 15 of them. Which one do I play? You know, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty. Like, there's all these series now where you just don't even know where to start anymore if you're coming into these late. So
that's,
you got to
be
find
our new website, wheretostart.com. Right next to How Long to Beat.
Amelia, what was the Resident Evil that we played where it was like push up to...
That was 5.
That was 5.
Yeah, that was 80. 5. Yeah.
The infamous oh, Jesus 5. Christ. Yeah. The worst game ever.
Chad and I spent 2 hours in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That makes any sense.
We couldn't beat it.
We couldn't figure it out.
We couldn't beat the tutorial, which wasn't a tutorial.
No. It's like, hi, 1 million zombies. Right after that. And you're like, well, I don't know what to do.
They throw you in head first to the style of the game, which is... You don't just, like, you aren't just going to stand there and kill all the zombies. Like, the zombies just keep coming. So you have to use a combination of shooting them, running from them, evading them somehow. Like, I don't know.
And Chad, would you say in 2 hours?
That actually applies to the campaign, too.
What's that?
The shooting, running, conserving ammo. In Resident Evil campaign, you'll find yourself in situations where it's like, I could kill this zombie, or I could just run around past him, not waste my ammo, and save it for the boss, which is significantly more difficult than anything else I'm encountering.
Would you say in 2 hours we tried every single strategy?
Yeah,
including running.
It was the most frustrating 2 hours of gaming.
It was really bad. I remember in Resident Evil 2, you could play as a piece of tofu. And like really late, like you have to unlock this by beating your heart, and all tofu
you
had
just
was a knife.
That's a common theme throughout all these Resident Evil games. I've noticed. I mean, they have the base game, and then they have like 25 different DLC skin packs, and most of them are just chicks with enormous tits, basically lampposts with melons taped to them, and some skimpy outfit. It seems to be in every single one of these games.
The old,
but I will say,
which again makes it Japanese as fuck.
Yeah.
The most scared I've ever been. It's somewhere
dogs in Resident Evil.
Yeah, I would still say Doom 3 overall, but scariest moment ever was probably the dogs in Resident Evil 1.
I
jumped away from my controller and like buried my face in the covers.
How about Amnesia?
Evil. Oh, I love that intro.
What?
Amnesia? Didn't you say you couldn't even play that game?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Silent Hill was scarier than Resident Evil back in the day when it came out.
Yeah, for sure.
Have I told you guys the story about the only time that I ever got like really scared playing a video game?
No.
Nah, I'll tell it off podcast.
No.
You got to tell it on podcast.
Yeah, fuck you.
I know. I've told you.
We're not saying another word until you tell that story.
Yeah. Okay. I was living in this house with a bunch of guys when I was younger, and we all had taken some acid. And
I love the story already.
When you take that, you have to wait a while for it to take effect. And you know how it is. You're always sitting around, I'm not feeling it. So I went in my room, and I loaded up not Shadows of Mordor, some Lord of the Rings game. You know those old ones where you just like beat them up through the levels. But anyway, the game starts up, black screen, and then this soft, whispery voice of an elf comes in, just like, hello, and then like starts talking, and that's right when it hit me, and I was like, oh my god, my eyes got real big, and I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
From the intro.
From the intro. From the black screen and a soft, whispery voice. I thought somebody was like talking to me like from another planet or something. Yeah. And that's really the only time that I was ever like truly scared playing a video game.
Well, if we're going to start talking drug stories.
Yeah.
I played TF2 probably for like 6 hours when I was on acid once.
I did that too.
Yeah.
That
and
was
the next
hilarious.
Day, because everything that's
Don't
worth
the drugs,
anything,
kids, by the way.
Anything that's worth anything in TF2 is made of wood. Like all the structures are made of wood. The next day I couldn't shake the fact that the world was made of wood, like wood planks. And I'm like, under all this paint, everything's made of wood. And that was scary because it made me question reality. So that was the scariest.
Too much wood on the brain.
It's the fear that sticks with you.
That is a scary thought.
Well, all right.
I'm pretty sure Bobby's made of wood. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a real boy.
Wow.
What are we? What else are we talking about?
We're talking
about?
Rogue One.
I saw that the other night.
Oh, did cool.
Who all has seen it in this room?
Show
I am the only one. No, I need to be taken to the movies. That's
They tried to go.
I mean, the popcorn.
Yeah, invite your boyfriend.
I like this a lot better than
seven.
Yeah, than seven.
Me too.
I really enjoyed this movie.
Not a lot, but
I didn't like this more than seven.
No,
but well, I thought it was good.
Bobby, why did you like this or didn't like it? What did you think?
It was a bit of an origin story, which some people had told me going into it. They had to retcon everything, so I don't know. I don't know what
retcon?
People consider retro continuity. It's when you do an origin story, you got to make sure everything adds up so it's in line with the movie that it already came out. Yeah, to a crazy extent. At first, I was like, holy shit, how did they get Grand Moff Tarkin back? But then I found out later he was CGI'd. I thought they did a good job.
You couldn't tell?
It was really good CGI. I thought
it was good CGI. It looked exactly like him, and that's how I knew. I'm like, there's no fucking way they found someone who looked exactly like him or got him to play the part again.
Sorry to cut you off because it's such a point. Me and the guy that I saw it with were like, that was the worst part. Him and Princess Leia were the worst part of the movie because it took you out of the movie because right away we were like,
I don't understand like how people have such an issue with the CGI. Like walking out of the theater, my girlfriend was like, well, Princess Leia looked good, but Tarkin, you know, he looked like Polar Bear or Polar Express. And I was like, it's a movie about fucking spaceships and laser beams and shit like that. And you're just like, his face doesn't look real. Like,
in a movie where nothing else looks fake. Everything looks real.
I don't know. My suspension of disbelief, when I go into a movie, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm much more accepting of like that kind of stuff.
Unless he's the only thing that I could think about.
I would be on Bobby's side in this one.
His face was the only thing I could think about, not his dialogue.
I thought he looked fucking fantastic. Like, I didn't even know it was a fake until...
I say in 5 years, we look back on him and say what we said about Star Wars when they put in those stupid fucking Muppets. When they redid Star Wars.
Oh.
And you have to humble your expectations, man. Otherwise, you will never be fully fulfilled when watching things like this.
True.
Well, he had a lot more screen time than Leia did. And what about the guy who died in the Fast and the Furious movie where they put his face in at the end of that? I never saw that.
I didn't even know they did that.
Paul Walker.
Yeah, Paul Walker.
But then again, I don't watch those movies.
They did a couple of scenes with him CGI'd in, right? Is what they did?
Yeah, the last one where they're driving off and...
Yeah, I
don't know. I didn't even notice that or even really care. It's just there's so many aliens and shit like that that it's just kind of it blends in with the rest of the movie. But as far as the story goes for the movie, I thought it was pretty good. They had a bunch of Easter eggs, I guess you would call them, that kind of tied into
fan service.
Yeah, it made me realize like, okay, this is what they're doing with Star Wars. They're making Star Wars basically the superhero movies now. Like they're just going to keep pumping the movies out. All these movies are gonna happen, and it was it kind of hit me in a weird way because Star Wars has always been like the three movies. Well, I guess now the six or the seven, but it's always been like kind of sacred to me, and just to have it be like, well, we're just going to make a whole shit ton of movies in the universe.
Disney owns Star Wars now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, who farted?
Not me.
Ugh.
Not me.
So
I burped. It might be that.
I don't know. So I love it, but I don't want more of it.
Yeah, see, I kind of feel like that, but that's because I grew up with the Star Wars movies.
You guys are ridiculous.
Okay, here's where I am at. Never had seen it. This is where I am at. I've only ever seen Star Wars, the original trilogy, and then number seven. Can I watch Rogue One, comprehend what's going on, and enjoy it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It occurs...
It's standalone.
It's a prequel to episode four.
I really enjoyed this movie.
It's a prequel to the first, yes.
I have not seen the newer generation.
Don't get me wrong.
So.
It will be perfect.
I really enjoyed this movie. I really enjoyed seven more.
I always go to those superhero movies and like I enjoy them for like on like in my own way, but then I go with somebody else and they're just like, oh well, I read the comic book and that part's in there because of that and it ties into this other movie, and I'm just like, I don't care about any of that shit. But when I go see a Star Wars movie, I know so much about the universe that I'm like the superhero comic book nerd now. So I don't know.
I'm the other way with you because I used to know a lot about the universe. But then when Disney bought it and removed all the
everything
the lore,
like not canon anymore.
Now
I don't know anything. And now, like in my mind, Bothans are small furry creatures because that's what they were in the Thrawn series. Mm-hmm. And now Bothans are the big fish-eyed guys, which were always Mon Calamari because they made the Mon Calamari cruisers.
Yeah, they totally fucked over Kevin J. Anderson and all his books.
Yeah.
But I'm the same way, but I got most of my Star Wars knowledge from playing the CCG game, like their ripoff of Magic, because every card would have a little bit of lore in each of them. So I learned all the characters' names and everything, and that was like official licensed Star Wars stuff. So all that stuff still is accurate, but I don't know. I've mixed feelings about it.
I think what we really are in here is don't bring up Star Wars on the podcast. Unless we need to feel 20 or 30 minutes.
True.
Personally, everybody says it's a good movie, that?
Yeah, it's very good.
Thumbs up. The next one I go see.
I can't wait to play it in Lego form.
Yeah, seriously.
And Bobby says don't make more really good movies if they have Star Wars on it for some reason.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised about that because the Star Wars universe...
But don't keep making good stuff.
Star Wars universe is huge and there's so many ways to go. I love these stories.
Doesn't make any sense.
Bobby? I don't want any more Skywalker shit.
Are you thinking that a bad movie is going to come up?
You know, it's much like my high fives. You know, when there's less of them, they're worth more valuable.
And I got a low five from Bobby.
Yeah. No, he gives low fives away like they're candy. It's the high fives
that are very rare.
Much coveted.
Yeah.
His girlfriend got one once.
Yep. After an especially good sex session.
After a spiffing.
After a great spiffing.
It's called a callback, everyone.
Yeah. Look it up.
Are we done with highlights and lowlights?
Yes, we are.
Cool. We're going to skip past that question. I put it together.
Okay.
My idea was that we would go through the names of our previous podcast and see who could come up with why we named it that. Or why Bobby named it that.
Okay.
Well, that would be too easy for me because I named it.
Yeah. So maybe you can host that and we'll do it.
So I'll put you to work, Bobby. Go do that. Come back next time.
I don't know if you know this. Read that top line and see if you know what that means.
This one here says Tracer is DL Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Gaming spelled GAYMING.
So
she's down low gay.
She is gay.
She's on the DL gay. Mm-hmm. How is this official?
This was revealed in a holiday comic book that was released by Blizzard. Did you guys read the comic book?
No, but I have to say I did read half of one, and it's not just flat panels. They're moving around.
Mm-hmm.
They're slightly animated.
They're slightly animated.
It's like a pop-up book.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So we had talked a couple episodes a month or two ago about... They had said one of their characters was gay. And we discussed who it was.
I didn't even know she popped up.
I don't think.
Did you not see Zarya's holiday update?
No.
The only thing she got were like frosted tips on her pink hair. I'm like, that's the gayest thing I've ever seen on something already
gay.
Maybe
she's transgender.
No, Zarya's straight. She likes men.
How do you know this?
Obviously gay that I just don't think that...
Zarya likes the beak.
I think, like, she's the most obvious one, and so I don't think Blizzard does that, because they don't do the obvious, which makes sense now, because Tracer wasn't the obvious one, but when you can... It would make sense to me.
Do you think Zarya will ever find love if she actually
she has
truly
the butch
is,
haircut.
Right?
I think and her and Torbjorn are secret lovers.
What?
That's
Tracer is the butch in the relationship, because her girlfriend is like... She looks like Spider-Man's girlfriend. What's her name?
Yeah, Gwen Stacy.
I need to see this comic.
Gwen Stacy.
How did you get the comic? How do you...
Gwen Stacy?
How do you get the comic, by the way?
Spider-Man's girlfriend? No, why don't I know this?
It's the other one, dude.
Because I'm not a comic book nerd. If this was a Star Wars character, I'd tell you.
Spider-Man's girlfriend is not Gwen Stacy.
No, it's not Gwen Stacy. Who the hell is it?
Spider-Man. We're talking Spider-Man.
Yeah, she has red hair.
Peter Parker.
You're talking about Mary Jane?
Mary Jane, yeah.
Well, that's not his girlfriend.
Where do you get the comic book?
Shut up.
Where do you get the
read your comic books?
Stop
what?
Talking about
where
things.
Do you get the comic that proves that Tracer's gay?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where do
I don't
you...
know. It's a holiday.
I clicked on it through a link on Kotaku. I don't know where the
are you peeing, Emilio?
Hosted
for the second time. Sorry, Bobby. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But yeah, they kind of lead up to it too. Like she's going out trying to find a gift or something like that. Some other shit happens. She goes home. She's talking to another girl, and then the girl opens a present, gives her a kiss, and then it's not just like a we're friends kind of kiss. It's very intimate. But yeah. Yeah,
this
so
is
it's
so
official.
Funny, yeah.
And I don't know. It's like what's the big fucking deal? Who cares? But
yeah, I wouldn't care.
Well, because
but I like it. I think it's a nice twist
too.
On Tracer.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And you know, there's a lot of like fan stuff that goes on with these characters. And so when something that comes out is official, it's kind of interesting.
I still think it's, I don't know, good, bad, interesting. I think it's interesting that they're just revealing more and more about these characters gradually. Like, we don't know the whole... It's not like they just came out and said, here's the Overwatch movie or here's the Overwatch book and this is everything that happens from where these people are from. It's kind of coming incremental to us.
For sure. Crytek closes 5 studios, unable to pay employees. I think they're staying with one studio so that they can refocus what made them great in the first place. But really, Crytek is one, probably, in my mind... I haven't read any of this or anything, but I would say the... what is the series that they make?
Far Cry?
No.
Crisis?
Crisis.
Oh, Crisis, yes.
Oh, my bad. Crisis series,
since it's single player, almost... I mean, their multiplayer is just kind of like an add-on. And they make these amazingly detailed first-person shooters, which take a lot of time and money to make. A lot of voice acting. A lot of... Just tons of... And right when, like, pirating really exploded and made people were making it really easy because of torrents and stuff, like, they were the heaviest hit because they were making those games at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They, the most, what do you call it? Invested. The most invested single-player games when torrents came out. And so, you know, one came out, and I don't think torrents really affected that one as much as 2 and 3 just got... I remember when those games were released, they were like, well, 250,000 copies were pirated on day one and stuff. And I was one of them. I pirated, like, number 2, I think, or maybe number 1. Because it's a single-player experience. You're done in 8 hours, and I just didn't... I don't know.
You're a bad person.
I'm a bad person also. Mexican.
Question. I always kind of thought Crysis was built
to
display the Crytek engine, and their company was about selling the Crytek engine. Is that not how it was?
How many games have you heard that are running Crytek?
I don't know. I guess that's probably...
Far Cry used to use it, but then they kind of branched off, and now they use something...
Unreal.
Now they use the Dunia engine, which is like a... heavily modified version of the Crytek engine.
Well, because that's kind of what I thought. Like, Crytek was the Crysis. I kind of thought was just a tech demo, not a full game, but a tech demo on what the Crytek engine could do.
But that doesn't discount how much millions of dollars went into making each one of
them.
Play any of them, Chad?
No, that's not really my style of game. You played like the superhero.
Because you can die, and there's difficulty.
Yeah. No, but like okay, cool. What else we got on the news?
The Steam nominees are announced. I think we're running a little long, so we won't cover it. There's no real reason to bring this up because there's no winners yet. It's just like what was nominated. And I figure that we're going to cover that when we cover the winners, right? Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm kind of curious to see if any of our nominees made it into the nominees that are being nominated.
Yeah. Another reason...
Did that make sense?
I was trying to hint at Chad about Grim Dawn. Another reason why this is like 3 or 4th on our list. I wish we had like an actual one, top 5, but they continuously work on Grim Dawn. The first 4 times Chad and I played it, it was 1 month apart, and every time we played it, it looked and played better. And we're like, what the fuck is going on here? It keeps getting better. And sure enough... So there's a new class called the Inquisitor class, does fire and storm magic or close quarters, whatever. But there's a new dungeon, and it's roguelike, dude. So I don't know if you start from scratch and build your way up every time, but that's all I ever care about.
Yeah.
Like, roguelike? What? Are you kidding me? Definitely going to check this out.
100%. I'm excited. Let's go home and play it right now.
And just in that same vein... Starbound Vault update has very roguelike things coming in. They have procedurally based bosses and dungeons.
That's cool.
So there's actually something to do in the game now.
Starbound was the one that is the side scroller where you're in the
Terraria with spaceships.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like a ship is just cut in half.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, yeah, that's right.
You played that, Chi?
No, I've seen plenty of people play it.
Yeah, it is really popular.
Platformers and side scrollers don't do it for me so much anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that is it.
That's it for the news.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. So does anyone have any New Year's resolutions?
No, we're doing this next year. Next week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
We are doing that next week.
Well,
so
since we're closing in this year, do we have a memorable gaming experience that was that kind of sums up 2016 gaming for you, or something that you're like, oh, okay, this year in gaming, this happened, and I loved it for this reason.
Go ahead and start off because you have yours.
Yeah, sure.
Think about ours.
I think next episode we're going to talk about gaming New Year's resolutions, but I'm just going to sum it up with the great thing that happened to me gaming related. I would say early this year, I think it was on Valentine's Day, I was streaming the first time I had ever hit DMG in CSGO. So I got my badge. I'm not sure if you guys...
What does DMG mean?
It's a...
Abbreviation for damage.
I think it's Distinguished Master Guardian. And it's a badge. So if you have played CSGO, you know that in competitive, you get different badges for different ranks, starting with Silver, Gold Nova, and then you go up from Gold Nova, you go to Master Guardian, which are the AKs, and then from the AKs, you go to badges, and then Eagles, and then super, like
lasers.
Global Elite. Yeah.
Sharks with lasers on their head.
Exactly. So, and recently CSGO patched it, so I lost my badge, but before they patched it, I worked tirelessly to get to that level. I would look up YouTube videos. I would play for hours. I would actually train with certain people, and I would work on my spray, and I would do training maps, and I finally got it, and that
Why
was
would
like
your spray
my...
affect any of that?
Huh?
Why would your spray affect any of that?
What is she
no,
talking
no,
about?
No, my spray control. Yeah, my spray control. So my badge, earning my badge, was basically saying, even though I'm a girl in Counter-Strike GO, I play better than at least half of the community with that badge, because it puts me above at least three different other rankings.
You had
really
a goal
close.
And you achieved that goal
exactly with competitive play.
Fuck
so.
Yeah! I'm gonna say what Lab Monkey said about what you said.
I am gonna go ahead and say Chi is wrong, because her gaming moment of the year was playing Divinity with her boyfriend
and
enjoying the long hours and the fun that they had with it.
She totally forgot that 90 hours.
Actually, that is true. Yeah. I played Divinity for 74 hours with my boyfriend, and every time we played Divinity, we would go out and buy the 6-packs of the Starbucks espresso double shots.
Holy shit.
And we would stay up all night to play this game, and we finally beat it. 80 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, you got something?
Nope.
That one time in Heroes of the Storm.
Something in Heroes of the Storm. Come on. Something.
Stardew Valley, when you sold all your blueberries for above market value.
Or the
value.
Canadian guy trying to be angry, but not.
Yeah, I've told all my good Heroes of the Storm stories off podcast. No, not recently. Yeah. there's a few good Heroes of the Storm stories. One with a Canadian guy that I play with. And when Canadians try to be mean, it is hilarious. It's just not in their blood, folks. And then,
unless they're wearing ice skates, and then they can punch you in the face.
All right. Those are the biggest, meanest Canadians. Yeah. So.
Now, Chad, you had another list, if I recall.
Oh, I do.
Oh, we
oh yeah. Wait, well, I'm not done.
Do you have one?
Well, kind of. Actually, playing through Grim Dawn with my buddy Chad was really fun.
It
was really fun. Mostly because we don't agree on games very often or find time, but we made time to beat that game together.
Yeah, we did.
And that was really good. We had a lot of fun.
You say this as you have your arm practically around him.
But that's my runner-up.
Going in for a kiss.
My real one is...
Another DL gaming moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game.
My real one is probably the first time that I six-packed Overwatch. We just fucking steamrolled all night, and that's fucking fun as shit.
That was fun.
Do you guys know how much more fun winning is than losing?
It's astronomically
better.
It's up there, yeah.
It's so much better.
It's not called getting carried. It's called just winning together. Come on. Together.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Because you start to think, oh, I'm not that bad. Well, who knows what it is?
What were you saying, Bobby, before they rudely cut you off?
What was I saying? I feel like I've had that conversation a couple times with people because I'll play with people and they're just like, well, you know, I'm just having fun. I'm like, well, you know what's fun? Winning.
I'm like, get out of my group. Yeah. So I don't need you here.
Let's pick meta heroes. You know, let's make proper picks, talent choices, and let's play the game the correct way. Let's not just fucking meme like a bunch of 12-year-olds here. Anyway.
The guy that the hypothetical guy that Bobby's talking about, he's talking about me on Overwatch. Yeah, that's exactly
probably,
who I am.
Probably.
I think we've played like 30 minutes of Overwatch.
I do okay, right?
No, you do great. I think you do better than me. As a road hog,
probably about
sure.
the same.
Don't feed his ego, because then...
But then again, I don't play very much. I'm just as good as you with one-tenth of the gameplay.
I mean, we won all of our games kidding. Together, remember?
Yeah,
when we were 6-5 or 6-10.
We complement each other.
Yeah, yeah.
The Grim Dawn stuff was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a caveat. He had to acknowledge.
No,
what
I mean, if I had to say something else, and
wait,
it's not even...
You're not playing games with your girlfriend, Chad?
She doesn't like movies. You think you're good at games?
I'm sorry.
I've never even tried because, like, honestly, I like my game time to be separate from my relationship time. So yeah. I'm unlike you guys. You guys both enjoy playing with your significant others. I like kind of doing it solo. We're doing it with people that are really interested in it. But, you know, she plays other style of games, just not video games. The one thing that I guess I would bring up, probably Grim Dawn was my most fun play this year. But, you know, just getting a legendary in WoW is really cool after playing the game for like 12 years. And it took a little way away from it because everybody's getting legendaries this expansion. So it's kind of like not really a big deal.
But yours
just seeing
was delayed
that,
too, right?
Just... Yeah, mine took a long time to get it on this expansion. But just seeing that distinctive color pop up and, like, see that. And when you're looking at yourself in your inventory and you see that distinctive orange color and you're like, holy shit. Like, there's something that for the first 10 years of this game was almost no one ever had. And just seeing it was
now
just cool.
Thanks to dumbing down for everyone.
Yep. Modification of the game.
I have it.
Yeah.
If this question would have come out last year, I definitely would have said that Rust fight.
Yeah,
we played,
you always talk about that.
God one. Damn, I love that fucking thing. That game was so much fun for the month that we played it. All right, so what was your other list there, Chad?
I have my most anticipated games of 2016. You guys have all been thinking about your most anticipated games. So
oh, yeah, the whole time.
I'm sure you guys will have a lot to add to it.
2017, you mean?
2017, you're right. Is this 2016? I forget.
Yeah,
2017. Okay. So
after 30, it doesn't matter anymore.
Let me actually.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Don't tell me these things.
No matter what year it is.
Sorry, let me get to it. Games of the year 2016.
Well,
okay.
Until then, Bobby, where'd you get that shirt?
Okay, I got it.
Okay, never mind.
So my most anticipated games of 2017. Feel free to disagree with me. I have 5 here listed. I'm going to start at the bottom since those are my lowest ones. BattleTech. I watched some of the videos of it. We watched the 20 minutes of that. It just looks like fun, you know, a battle.
Is it a single player?
I'm not actually sure.
So you watched 20 minutes or something, and you don't know if it's single
player. Multiplayer, what I watched.
Oh, okay.
The other one, I just kind of found out about this, The Fall Part 2. I really like the original game, The Fall, where you play as this suit with a guy that's unconscious inside you, and you're a suit trying to help your...
Played it for 5 minutes, looks amazing. It looks really cool. No. Like,
well, I play it all the way through, because I played it all the way through, and it's really cool.
Cool.
Divinity Original Sin 2, which I'm assuming... I'm assuming you guys all are interested in.
I think it's going to be 4 players.
It's up to four players, and you guys... Oh, I could talk about it already now, but I won't.
Okay. Yeah. Next one up, Red Dead Redemption 2.
What?
Red Dead Redemption 2, which people are theorizing is going to be on PC.
Say until it's confirmed.
But if it is, I will be super excited about this. And my most... anticipated game is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So those are my
for me.
Those are my top 5.
I'm going to go with Divinity, as long as it's 4 player.
Yeah.
I would say Divinity, but since it's early access, you can play the Act 1. I feel like you already have a taste of it now. Whereas Mass Effect, we have no idea what's coming. So I'm really excited.
I'm not expecting much out of it. I don't know. I'm definitely not expecting... Mass Effect series is just going to go on. It's going to be like The Godfather. It's going to live on forever and ever. And all the and I feel like the other one's kind of like going to be Goodfellas, which is a good movie, but it's just not going to be Godfather, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I don't know.
Did Don't put Bobby? My Mass Effect down.
I didn't understand that analogy, but I'm going to go with either Divinity Original Sin 2 or, yeah, Mass Effect could be good, mm-hmm. or Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, it's still on Early Access then?
Yeah, it said early 2017.
Okay. Close us out there, Emil.
Last right. one of the year.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy
safe.
Holidays.
Thanks for being here with us for another year.
Yeah.
It's fucking legit, guys.
We will see you next episode, bright
we'll
and bushy-tailed,
in the new
brand
year.
New. Hungover probably still from the New Year's, but...
we'll catch up on our stories.
Yeah.
Gee, what are those candies you made us called?
Oh, I made Puppy Chow, a.k.a. Puppy Chow. Muddy Buddies for the gents.
I feel like these are all, like... Midwest terms that she's using for these yeah. things.
It's a very Midwest holiday candy.
It's
for
very
sure.
good though.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Jiffy.
So speaking for Chad, Bobby, Chi.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And myself, candy coated hush puppy titties. Everyone, they're delicious. Suck it up. And on that note, somebody leaves the room.